shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Funny is her sister. Welcome to our show.
Yeah!
Now, I had been on the show. Oh, by the way, we're online at philhendryshow.com. Right now, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, we have in front on the screen, we have a review, of a restaurant called the Sri Lanka in Minneapolis, but it ain't the one I was talking about.
You talk about another one.
How many do they got?
No. Hold on. Just the great Sri Lankan restaurant that I remember fondly from Minneapolis was called the Sri Lanka Curry House. It was on Hennepin, and I guess that's uptown. It ain't around no more. Excuse my my bad grammar, but I lapse into these grammatical troughs when I'm just talking, you know.
Talking about food.
Yeah, and I'm talking about, thank you, bud, and I am talking about food because I've been on a diet, man, since March 19th. That's my face. Put it back on the... I wanted to say this for anybody that's interested. If you've heard me talk about the Sri Lanka Curry House in Minneapolis, it's not there, but it has been reincarnated. It has been reincarnated as simply the Sri Lanka restaurant. I don't know where it is, but look it up. I'm reading an article. It's a review here by a man named Mr. Bruce Schneier and Karen Cooper wrote the review. Now, I don't, with all due respect, Mr. Schneier, unless it's Schneider and they left out the D.
Yeah, that sounds like a funny name.
Yeah, it could be Jewish.
Okay, and what's that mean, bud?
Well, they have like weird names, like Ephraim Zimbalist.
Uh-huh. Get out of here. They got weird names like Ephraim Zimbalist. I don't know. So this dude wrote a review, and it is I call it a good review. He probably thinks he gave it like a C or a... one of the things, Sri Lanka is an island nation. I don't know if anybody's aware of that. I mean, you know, it's something you should know. And an island nation like Sri Lanka, it's not the biggest island, but it's probably going to be a lot better with fish than it is with, I don't know, cattle herding. So if you go to a Sri Lankan restaurant and you're a restaurant critic and you order a meat dish, maybe you ought to factor in the fact that that maybe isn't their biggest, you know, seller.
Yeah, but why they got that on the menu?
Yeah, if they can't do it good, then they ought to probably take it off the menu.
Maybe they got it on the menu because some people want to have a meat dish because they don't like fish. And they're there in the restaurant because they were brought along by a friend who really loves it and they don't, and like that, okay?
Yeah, that'll make the meat taste better.
I don't know. If you're not known for meat and they have it on the menu, maybe they ought to just take it off the menu. But nobody. And I went to the Sri Lanka Curry House, and I just want to tell you guys, if you like Indian food, if you like spicy food, if you like hot food, Sri Lankan food is like Indian food, only with fish. I mean, this is how I've always described it. So, you know, when I saw this guy's review, oh, and by the way, the meat dishes were all they got, thinking, what do you expect, man? The guys are like, if you want a really good dish, just order the appetizers. Those are the best. He says, we didn't have as much luck with the meat. Yeah, well, island, small, ocean all around it. They go fishing.
Yeah, but you said Cuba. They got good meat.
Why are you smiling when you say that?
I don't know.
Cuba does. Yeah, Cuba is weird, but then Cuba's weird in a lot of ways. Cuba, their seafood sucks. Their pork and their chicken is fantastic. I don't know why. That's just the way it is. But the point being, if you ever get over to Minneapolis, the Curry House, the Sri Lankan Curry House ain't there, but the Sri Lanka restaurant is still there, and I consider this to be a pretty damn good review. Some really good appetizers, and like I said, it's like Indian food.
Is Indian food hot?
Oh, that's what I forgot to tell you. Yes, Indian food can be hot, and I forgot to tell you, Sri Lankan food, at least the way they served it at the Curry House, and maybe it's different at this new restaurant, it's the hottest food I've ever had. I don't give a damn how hot you've had food, and I don't care what kind of food you've had. This is the hottest stuff in the history of man on this planet, man. I used to go in there, and it was weird because I knew then when I went in that I would be in agony and pain, and yet I couldn't stay away because the food was so good.
Yeah, it's like masochistic or something.
No, it wasn't masochism.
Yeah, it is. That's what people do when they want to feel pain, and they go, ow, ow, it hurts, oh, but it feels good.
No, I didn't go in there for that reason. What kind of a freak do you take me for, man? Don't answer that. Don't answer. But the point is, that's not why I go to there. That's not why I went there.
That why you go to there?
You go to there?
I'm going to belt you, okay?
Watch it.
Don't tell me to watch it. I went there because I love the taste of the food, and I put up with the hot. And I'll tell you what, you could say to these people, and as I often did, would you just bring it to me mild? Because they had mild. Good evening, Mr. Henry. You want a mild?
This place Chinese?
No, but I'm just doing my version of a Sri Lankan accent. And they'd say, you want the, what do you want tonight, Mr. Henry? I said, I like this. And would you make it mild? Yes, sir, Mr. Henry. Yeah, huh? And I always knew what that meant. It was going to come back. It'll just burn the skull right off of your neck. But that was the mildest that they had.
So you went ahead and ate that anyway?
Yeah, I ate it anyway because it was the best damn food you ever had in your life. God, it was good. God, it was good. So, and I know I'm talking about food here because I've been on this diet, like I said, since the 19th of March. But I will tell you this. You're not going to bust a diet eating fish and a lot of these foods, curries and things. Man, there's nothing there that's going to put a lot of fat on you. So it's really good. Speaking of that, by the way, and I know we had Brad Rifkin on in our first hour, and that went, like, really bad. We never did get around to how to lose weight. He was talking about his cinnamon bun concession.
That was pretty good, though. That went over the head when it's sinfully cinnamon.
What was it like?
It was pretty good, man. I had to eat it with a fork and knife. It was the biggest damn cinnamon bun I had ever seen.
Well, yeah, the big cinnamon buns, yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
You go down to Disneyland, you get those big cinnamon buns, you have to eat them with a fork and knife. So what?
Yeah, it's pretty good, though.
All right, well, I mean, what I was saying is this. Last night I was talking to the audience. I was talking to you guys out there that may be trying to get the weight off. I was talking to you about my 2,000-calorie-a-day diet, which is exactly what I'm doing. But the 2,000-calorie-a-day diet that I'm doing, I'm staying at 2,000 calories, and it's helped me lose in a month and once, 5 weeks, 25 pounds. So I lost 20 pounds in the first month, and 5 weeks in, I'm down 25 pounds. So here's the thing. If you are going to bust the 2,000, you can do that. You know, if you're going to go over, you can do that. But what I was trying to say to you last night is you have to find some exercise that's going to burn the calories off back down to 2,000. So if you eat 3,500 calories worth of food in a day, you better get your ass out there and burn off 1,500 calories worth.
What do you do? How do you do that?
Well, like I said, if you walk for an hour, if you walk a brisk walk, like as they describe it, an exercise walk, or the speed that you might be walking a dog, a good fast walk, not speed walking, but a good quick clip of a walk. If you do that for an hour, that's 400 calories. So you'd have to do that kind of walking for 4 hours, man, to burn off the 1,500 calories extra that you ate. So you may want to find something else, like running, like swimming. There's a lot of other ones that are going to take a hell of a lot less time and help you take off. But I would not, personally, I wouldn't want to get it up to 3,500 calories. Man, that's a hell of a lot of calories to burn off.
But have you ever gone over?
Yeah, I've gone over. I mean, but I haven't allowed myself to go over by much more than 100 calories. You go out and you can run that off in a few minutes. You can run off 100 calories in literally in a few minutes. But I'm not going to go over 1,500 calories because there's not enough time in the freaking day, man, to get rid of that. If you want to, be my guest. But just remember, at the end of that 24-hour cycle, you got to be back down to 2,000 calories. Otherwise, you're full of crap. Okay.
Yeah, literally.
Fine. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, commencing our news and information hour. So what's going on here, man? All right, well, we already talked about Obama and Osama, and we don't need to do that anymore. Other news. Human rights showdown awaits Clinton in Beijing. Well, that sounds sexy. Well, let's see if we can't find something. Rupert Murdoch, they're questioning his fitness to lead News Corp. So, in other words, I have to look for something a lot more interesting than this crap that you pulled me, bud. We'll get to it here in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We also have some news for you on forthcoming podcasts. Stick around.
Truth is our bitch.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, it is our news and information hour. And I've got a little bit of news and information for you right now, barring anything more interesting in the news, which there isn't any.
Most interesting thing that's going on is your poker tournament.
We do. Well, it's not a poker tournament. We are having a poker game Saturday. I haven't played poker with my friends. I haven't played poker with my friends for at least a couple of years, I don't think. I don't think I've played poker with these guys since before I was in the hospital with pneumonia. The reason why I say is because I've always, at poker tournaments, every time we've had a poker game, I've always been a cigarette smoker. And this will be the first time that I will not be...
You wouldn't be able to stay off them?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's not a problem. I don't give a damn, man. I don't, you know, like I said, I'm not a reform smoker. They want to smoke cigars? I don't give a damn. You know, I'm just not that way. But it's going to be good to see these guys. Now, what's going to happen is they're going to start this game at 11:30 in the morning. The reason is because the Derby, I forgot all about the Derby.
Oh, yeah, it's at the what's it called?
It's called a Derby.
But is that the Brown Derby?
The Brown Derby. No, the Kentucky Derby. You don't... The Kentucky Derby?
Is that a horse?
Is it a horse? It's a horse race.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. I know that one. But, I mean, I know if you meant the Brown Derby.
Yeah, if you think about it, they've had the Brown Derby. A lot of places are confusing about it.
Oh, yeah, that's real confusing, man. Nobody that knows anything about sports, when you bring up the first weekend in May and you say the Derby, most people know you mean the Kentucky Derby, not the Brown Derby or any other kind of derby. You know?
What about the Derby in England?
They've got the Derby in England. The Derby. That's, which is spelled, I think, D-E-R-B-Y.
That's Derby.
Yeah, it's Derby, but, and that's a race they have in England where all the women wear the big hats, but then they wear the big hats at the Kentucky Derby. I don't know the difference. I think the Derby is, one of the things about England is they run the horses in the opposite direction. Our horses here go counterclockwise. And in Britain, I think they run the horses clockwise, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, Saturday is the Kentucky Derby. So we're going to start the poker game about 11. Then we'll break and we'll watch the Derby, and then we'll keep on playing. So it's going to be a good. It'll be an early night because I'm sure that these guys all have kids and all that stuff, you know. But that's going to be about 8 hours of poker playing.
You've been playing poker a long time.
I've been playing poker since I was like 12 years old, 12 or 13 years old. I used to play with these guys. These are the same guys, and I've known these guys my whole life. We first started playing poker in Arcadia in the business area. We'd be walking down a street with cards and pennies, and we would just sit down in an alley someplace, or we'd sit down in the back of some office, you know, just sit on the cement patio of some business that was not working that day, and we'd play poker. And then we started to play cards at guys' houses, and as we got older and we began to work and we had money, then we had damn card games all the time. And so I've been playing with these guys, but we always played five stud, five draw, seven draw was the biggest game that we played, and all that other crap, you know. But the hold'em game that they play now, you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, like on TV.
Yeah, I mean, the all-in, all those rules, they're obviously very new up to old-school card players, but I say new in the last 10 years or 15 years or however long they've been doing that. Maybe they've been running tournaments like that for a long time. I don't know. But in any event, I think that's what we're going to play. So there you go. That's the end of that.
Yeah, you've been playing with these guys a long time. Do they cheat?
Do they cheat? Sure, probably. I don't know. I can tell you one story of a card game that we played once, and this was years and years ago in Florida. And this is kind of an interesting story. If you have friends, and you know your friends really well, and you know which ones are smart and which ones are not, and which ones are, you know... And I have a friend, and he's a great guy, but he's very, he's kind of like an airhead, you know? He's always forgetting to do stuff. And, you know, it's kind of like you, bud, only he doesn't have a plate in his head.
All right.
Anyway, so this guy I brought along one night to play poker, and this was in Florida. And it was in Central Florida years ago. And this cat I'm with, my friend, who's this airhead guy, and we're playing with another guy that we know and another guy we don't know. So my friend Ray had a tendency in those days to forget whether he'd anteed. He would draw light from the pot and forget to pay the pot back. He would forget that he what he had. You know, he might have he might show two pairs. Oh, wait, I've got three of a kind. You know, all that kind of stuff that tends to piss off most players, unless, you know the guy, as I know him, it's like, oh, man, why don't you get your act together? You're kind of an airhead. You know, you just know that this is the kind of guy that he is. Well, I didn't know this, but apparently had pissed off at least one other player at the table that night, and this was this guy I didn't know. So the following week, and I think the guy that invited us to play was a guy named Jimmy. Nice guy. Guy that we worked with. This is before I was in radio. I was a construction worker, and I was just, you know, we were a bunch of kids down there in Florida. He says, Jimmy, he says, why don't you guys come on out and play again? I said, yeah, okay. So I go out, but Ray, at the last minute, decides not to because he's got to go and do something or he had a date. I forget what. So I go out there, and there's Jimmy, there's me, there's this dude that I didn't know, and maybe one or two other guys. We played and had a good evening, and, you know, I think I got my ass kicked. Well, maybe not, but in any event, okay, Jimmy, thanks a lot. Well, I found out later that this guy that we didn't know, this dude showed up with a knife.
What for?
He was going to cut Ray if Ray pulled any more of this stuff. And I had no idea. And Jimmy only told me later. And it was almost like this was going to be a serious situation. And can you believe this cat, this friend of mine, he says, now I know him. He's just a flaky guy. He doesn't cheat anybody. He's just a flaky guy, you know. We're always jumping him. We're always riding him. We're always saying, man, you got to get your act together. You got to, you know, you got to remember to ante, man. Hey, how many cards do you want, man? Oh, wait a minute. I know. I only want two. Yeah. You know, and you're just like, you're an idiot, you know. You're just a flake. But this other dude, he was taking it real serious, and he showed up with a knife, and he was going to.
Man, he was going to cut him open like a Christmas turkey.
Maybe, yeah. It was going to be real serious, you know. If Ray had showed up, all he had to do was just pull one thing like, you know, oh, wait a minute, what I really mean is, and out comes this guy's blade. And Bell, I tell you, the luck of this cat, man, it just, you know, deciding, oh, you know, I got other stuff I got to do tonight. I better not go out and play cards. I got to do this. I mean, just like that dumb luck, you know.
Do you ever go back and play cards with this guy?
No, man, because what happened was Jimmy told us later that guy showed up with a knife. And, of course, I in subsequent days, I thought, did he know that guy had a knife and he wasn't going to say anything? Did he find out later from this guy? You know, it's a good thing that guy didn't show up. Why? Because I can't, you know, because I came packing a knife. I never did know. I tend to think, I like to think the best that he didn't know. But you never know, man, you know.
Well, yeah, well, why wouldn't he tell you if he knew the guy had a knife? Why didn't he say it?
Because it ain't none of his business, I guess. I mean, it is his house. It is his house. Don't you think you'd have something to say about a guy sticking some guy in your own house? But I don't know. I don't know. Jimmy was a good guy. He was a straight-up guy. I never had a problem with him. So, and he told us later that this cat showed up with a knife. And I was the only guy there. So the guy had no beef with me. So it ain't like he's going to say to me, hey, Phil, good thing Ray isn't here tonight because Joe here has a knife. You know, he said something later to one of the other guys that we knew. You know,
man, that's what I call dumb luck.
Oh, it's dumb luck, all right. Believe me when I tell you, it's dumb luck. All right. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Rupert Murdoch's fitness to lead News Corp is being questioned. Rupert Murdoch's fitness to lead News Corp, which, of course, is the owner of Fox, his fitness is being questioned by a parliamentary panel from Britain's House of Commons. We'll dig into that and a few other things here. We come back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A stink in this room. Margaret was talking about Frank's shoes being off. She could smell something with the feet, but I'm smelling something.
You know, I bet you I know what that is.
What?
I think it's that mushroom fertilizer. What's mushroom fertilizer got to do with it?
Mushroom fertilizer? You mean it's coming off the fields north of the beach here?
I think so, yeah.
Mushroom fertilizer.
What's that?
It's a fertilizer made out of mushrooms. They use it because where we live here at the El Pacifico, there's a lot of green space here at the Ventura County, Los Angeles County line. And they may be fertilizing the fields, you're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
We may be the only nationally syndicated radio show in America that broadcasts in fairly close proximity to farmland. And
what about Elvis Duran?
Elvis Duran? What is...
From Jersey.
Well, that's true. He is in North Jersey. All right, I'm just joking. So anyway, mushroom fertilizer stinks, and it stinks just about like Mr. Gray's feet. So there you go. Report questions Rupert Murdoch's fitness to lead News Corps. A British parliamentary panel's scathing assessment of Rupert Murdoch's corporate character is a blow to his reputation and may affect his business interests. London. Over 60 years, Rupert Murdoch built a media empire using his properties and their profits not just to break down the doors to the British establishment, but to control it. Tuesday's scathing declaration by a British parliamentary committee that Rupert Murdoch is, quote, not a fit person to exercise the stewardship of a major international company may mark the moment when the once tamed establishment lost its fear of the country's most powerful media man. Of course, this doesn't mean jack squat.
I was going to say, man, they can't fire him.
No, it doesn't mean anything. It's a political report, you know, they don't like. Although, the guy got into trouble. This whole hacking thing is super bad. It's super bad. He lost. This guy had no control. He had, you talk about stewardship, he had no control. He had no knowledge of, he had no working knowledge of the day-to-day of his business to the point where they were hacking people's phone mail, they were voicemail, they were hacking people's email accounts, they were stealing information, they were breaking the law to get news that they were reporting in their various media organs, if you'll pardon the expression. The report was Parliament's response to the illegal phone hacking scandal that began at the Murdoch-owned tabloid News of the World and led to the arrests of several senior lieutenants across the global sprawl of his News Corp. Now, News of the World as well has since been shut down. It doesn't exist. It's gone. It's a late newspaper. It is singing with the choir eternal.
This is a dead parrot.
Right. The committee said Murdoch turned a blind eye and exhibited willful blindness to the phone hacking that was rampant at his newspapers going on, shredding the defense mounted by the company that its senior executives were unaware of the possibly criminal shenanigans of reporters. You know, why don't you just once, you'd like to hear these guys come clean and say, you know something, it's my fault.
No, that's what I was saying, man. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, just once you'd like to hear these guys say, you know what, it's on me, baby.
Well, they do. They always say that.
I know, but they always say it, well, I had no idea any of this was happening, but, you know, this is my, yeah, bull crap. Nobody believes you, man. So you might as, if no one believes you, then what you have to do is articulate exactly what you mean. And I'm not saying, wow, I've got all this stuff going on all over the world and I don't know. That's not good enough. That's not good. Nobody understands that. If you're saying to me that you don't know what's going on at News of the World, they're hacking this, they're hacking that, and you have no idea, and you say, you got to understand, Mr. Henry, I'm the multimillionaire guy, and I lead to this and to that and to this and that, I would say, that doesn't mean anything to me, man. I represent people that are carrying a lunch bucket to work. They don't, what are you talking about? Why don't you know? You own this, man. This is a lot of money. You got a lot of bread tied up in this. Why don't you know? Well, don't you understand that? No, I don't understand. You're going to have to explain it.
Yeah, didn't he say he's on the phone? He's talking to him once a week.
That doesn't mean anything, man. You could be on the phone talking to him once a week and saying stuff like, hey, Harry, how's everything going? Oh, it's great. What's new? Oh, well, this and that and this and that. Okay. Anything else? No, that's it, sir. How much money are we making? Plenty. Okay. Are we losing it? No. Anybody get a rent? No? Okay, thanks. Bye. I mean, what the hell?
Now, they ain't going to say, like, well, we got this phone, we're hacking email to get our news.
They're not going to volunteer it. And he sure as hell isn't going to ask. Let's say that you believe Murdoch, that he doesn't know. Is he going to sit there and say, what question can I ask today? I know. Are you guys hacking into voicemails or anything like that? But I'll tell you this much. If Murdoch was the newsman, the media veteran that he claims to be, he knows every dirty, stinking trick like we all do. Let me just say this. I'm not Rupert Murdoch, but I've been in media all of my life. And when they said they were hacking voicemails, it didn't surprise me. I mean, I'm not sitting here all, oh, my goodness gracious. Of course. I know reporters, and I know what these guys will do to get the story. They got families to feed. They got a job to keep. And they'll cut the freaking heart out of the guy next to a man to get the job done. I mean, that's the blood and guts, hardball world we live in. And if a guy says, no checkbook journalism, are you kidding me, man? I'll pay for that. If somebody's got some information I got to pay for, they'll pay for it. If you got a way to hack into someone's voicemail, a real heavy hitter, somebody really important, and you're not going to, and this guy said, well, I'm not going to do it because that would be illegal and immoral, you better believe there's somewhere down the trough, man, there's a guy that will. So don't be surprised. See what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, you don't do it.
If you don't do it, somebody else will. So don't get surprised when that guy does. The guy that does, you're hoping he gets caught and doesn't get a raise or a promotion. You know, I mean, that's what you're hoping will happen. Now, it alleged that Murdoch's son, Jay, when I say it, we're talking about this report from the parliamentarian. It alleged that Murdoch's son, James, showed poor leadership in failing to get to the bottom of the hacking, and it accused three senior executives at News Corp and the now-defunct News of the World, including Les Hinton, one of Murdoch's closest associates, of misleading Parliament about the pervasiveness of snooping into cell phones. This is what this article accuses them of, and I don't know how much they misled, if at all. The damning assessment of corporate character was a blow to Murdoch, who is seeing his closest lieutenants discredited and his family control of News Corp assailed. Assailed, but there's nothing the government can do about it in terms of the ownership. Just think of it as part of a tide, an ever-increasing, unstoppable, inevitable tidal wave, said Murdoch biographer Michael Wolff. It's just a cruise. Every piece of news is worse than the last piece of news. It's something that they can't get out from under. They can't stop it, and it has their name on it. It's a lot of bad publicity. It's a lot of really rotten, crappy publicity. British Parliament can't do anything to change who owns this company.
Yeah, but people are going to stop, like, reading the newspaper.
They may stop reading newspapers, but not because necessarily of this. Although, they're not going to stop watching Fox. They're not going to stop. Doesn't he own Sky TV, too?
Yeah, I think so. That's the one that's over in England.
Yeah, I know, bud. I don't see this affecting Fox. I don't see it affecting anybody. Who the hell gives a, who knows who Rupert Murdoch, people know the name, but if I go down to the corner and I get a copy of a newspaper, News of the World was shut down by Murdoch. It wasn't shut down by the government. In addition to tarnishing Murdoch's reputation, oh, goodness gracious, his reputation's tarnished. What does it mean? He won't be able to make another $50 billion? The guy is loaded. He's filthy rich. He doesn't need any more money. He owns enough stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? His son, he's Calm
down, bud. Calm down. What?
Well, I think he's going to say like the family and like the future.
Well, that's a good point. The future would be affected. Yes. How much of this the future? How much of the future will the family? It's like Noah Cross. You know, the character played by John Huston in Chinatown. When Jake Gittes says to him, "How much can you own? What do you not already own that you want to buy?" And he says, "The future, Mr. Gittes. The future."
That his name was Gittes.
His name was Gittes. He called him Gittes.
What do you mean by the future?
Are you nuts or something? Owning the future. That's okay. So in any event, questioning his fitness to lead a company could have bearing on his almost 40% controlling stake in British Sky Broadcasting. British regulatory authorities are charged with determining whether major stakeholders such as Murdoch are, quote, fit and proper owners of mass media in Britain. Uh-oh, I didn't know that. And the agency overseeing B Sky B said it would take the parliamentary committee's findings into consideration in its review of Murdoch's ownership. So he has an almost 40% controlling stake, and they have a law in England that says they can review who runs these companies, these media companies. He's dead.
Yeah, I think he's out.
The report swiftly added to pressure on Murdoch's U.S. properties. A Washington-based ethics group called on the Federal Communications Commission to revoke 27 Murdoch-owned television licenses, citing the British parliamentary report as evidence that Murdoch falls short of the necessary good character standards to be entrusted with a broadcast license. That's pretty funny. Coming from the FCC, good character? You got to be kidding me. You guys are applying to the FCC as to who has good character in owning U.S. broadcast licenses. You talk about applying to the Fox to see who gets to get into the hen house. Man.
The what?
Bud, I'm going to belt you if you ask me one more dumb question. All right. So Rupert Murdoch's dead meat. Let's see who else is being hung out to dry. We come back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It is May 2nd. It is, in point of fact, today is the anniversary of the dispatching of Bin Laden. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and 7 killed in Kabul attack just after Barack Obama's visit. Now, President Obama was in Afghanistan, and we were just talking about it. I think that was good. I think the president seeing the troops, I think it's a morale builder for them. I think they see the president, they see the commander-in-chief, he gives a damn about them. They're not over in Afghanistan, and everybody in America is just going on about business as usual, partying, watching the hockey playoffs. Spanking it, whatever we're doing. And those guys are over there with their asses, twisting in the breeze. So the president goes over and says, "Hey, here I am, the commander-in-chief. Everything's good. It's the one-year anniversary of wasting Bin Laden. You guys are my heroes." That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Afghanistan, though, is a bitch, man. Insurgent gunmen and bombers struck a guest house complex frequented by foreigners hours after President Obama ended a lightning visit. In the attack's aftermath, several charred bodies could be seen. 7 people had been killed. Afghan security forces have been braced for possible attacks on the first anniversary of the U.S. raid that killed Osama bin Laden. Witnesses said Wednesday's assault apparently began with a vehicle bombing outside the gates of the guarded house. And there was a subsequent explosion, which might have been a suicide blast. Shooting continued for about a half an hour. Just over 2 weeks ago, insurgents staged an ambitious cluster of armed strikes in the capital and other areas. You know, Afghanistan is similar. They used to talk about Iraq being like Vietnam. Of course, it was nothing like Vietnam. Afghanistan's not like Vietnam either, but it's an area of the world that has been at war much longer than America has been there. You know, and in that sense, it's like Vietnam, because when the United States arrived in Vietnam, they had been at war already, first with the Japanese, then with the French, and then finally in comes America. So we're talking, by the time the United States got troops in there, it had been, my God, it had been a good 20 years of continual armed conflict in Indochina, Vietnam. Now, Afghanistan, we jump in there in 2001, and you know the Russians rolled tanks in 1980. And, of course, that's 20 years, 21 years. And then you can probably tack on a couple more years that they were doing battle with the communist regime in Afghanistan. So, you know, war is nothing unusual for them, and they're not impressed. They weren't impressed with the Russians. I will tell you this much. The Russian tactics, which were Warsaw Pact tactics, which were absolutely and completely the stupidest things you could possibly have done, the Russians did in Afghanistan. They went in with tanks and troops the way they would have gone into Hungary or Czechoslovakia a generation before. They went in with all this impressive stuff, marching in, probably, one abreast, just, and that don't get it done, man. That don't send them down there in Afghanistan. And as they rolled their tanks to those passes, those Mujahideen were up there in the mountains with those rocket launchers, those RPGs, whatever the hell else they got. They were blowing those things up as fast as they could roll them down the road. The United States is a little bit smarter. We would go in with battalion strength, and we would go in and with very small, much, relatively speaking, smaller, combat units, and would spread them around the country and try to attack wherever the hot spots were. There wasn't any big, shoulder-to-shoulder sweeping across the country and turning everything commie. But same thing, you've got these tribal areas, unlike Iraq, when they had the Sunni awakening, when it finally fell on the Sunnis in Iraq that it would be better for them to play ball with the U.S. than it would be with al-Qaeda. And suddenly we saw the Sunnis working with the U.S. military, and al-Qaeda was being driven out of these areas where they had a stronghold. Same thing isn't happening in Afghanistan. They don't play that in Afghanistan. They're not impressed with us. Because, first of all, they've had experience with the CIA. Second of all, they've had experience with the Russians. They're not about to trust the U.S. in any great numbers. So what's the end game? You know, that guy, I remember that Charlie Wilson's war we saw?
Yeah, he said that they screwed up the end game.
Okay, let's say they screwed up the end game. So now what are we going to do? We're going to turn and run again? I mean, at what point do you just say, we aren't worth a pinch? Don't trust America ever again as long as you live. I mean, we went in there. We helped them get rid of the Russians. A lot of money, a lot of CIA money, a lot of training, a lot of this, a lot of that, and then turn around and we split. Now we come back in again, and we're giving them the same pitch. This time they ain't buying it. So we leave, because a lot of people want us to leave. I don't. Of the two wars, Afghanistan was far more logical. That's where that scum-sucking dog launched everything against New York was from Afghanistan. What the hell? Why is that so hard for people to figure out?
Yeah, well, they already killed him, so why are they sticking around?
Okay, great. So let me just get this straight. In America, with a progressive president and the progressive Democratic support that he has, what they are counseling is the following progressive idea, which is to abandon and bail on Afghanistan yet again because, hey, we got what we needed, so bye. And all that bullcrap that I heard about helping the Afghanistan people and oh, my God, the war on women and the Taliban this and the Taliban that, all that stuff's goodbye. Is that what it is? Because I got news for you, man. All those people are talking about the Taliban coming down on females, coming down on women, chopping their hands off, making them wearing burqas, this, that, this, that. There's only one way you fight that, and you do it with guns. You don't do it with bullcrap. I don't understand where people are talking about, the war on women. Yeah, there's a war on women in America. Mavis Leno was talking about what the Taliban was doing to women over there before we ever heard of Afghanistan. And now we're over there and we want to split because we got bin Laden and they can go back to sticking burqas on women and chopping their hands off. Because we got what we needed.
Yeah, but what do you expect us to do? Stay there forever and more and killing everybody?
I expect us for a change. For the first time maybe since World War II, for the United States to be good to its word somehow and stick around and see something through, man. And I understand it's a tough job. What, all of a sudden we forgot how to do it?
But I mean, we got to keep troops over there.
So what if we got to keep troops over there? Big deal. We're not talking about leaving 500,000 guys over there with freaking tanks and this and that and this and that and this and that. I'm saying you could have a military presence in Afghanistan, man, off an aircraft carrier, for God's sake. We got them down there in the Indian Ocean. If you want to have some, there's the marching music, so.
And we'll see you again tonight, folks.
Yeah, so we got to go. I would hate for this to turn into some sort of a martial display. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. We're online at philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. Head on over there, get a backstage pass, and watch our live streaming video of this here show, which takes place, as you well know, each and every night. We will see you again tonight. Until then, let that be a lesson for you.
Phil Hendry.